a lot of people are like, what are you doing?
Hell yeah.
Like, why would you do that? But so much of it stems from the fact that their reaction has more to do with them and their experiences and their fears than it does with the validity of what you are trying to do.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt. We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to The Weekly Parody.
Hey, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, hello. My name is Heather Parody. I am your host. Today we are talking about why you should not be ignoring LinkedIn. Are you ignoring LinkedIn? I have been a little bit. I'll be honest. I'm having a podcast about ignoring it, and I've ignored it. I guess it's really been a lot of misconceptions I've had about the platform, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. I spoke with Hayden Humphrey. You may know him from the summit we just hosted on how to build an audience. He was one of our speakers and talked about how to use LinkedIn. And I had him on the show to dig into that a little bit more. But you know what ended up happening? Like most conversations I have, I end up kind of going left field and talking about really super deep stuff. I don't even know how it happens. You know, I went to school to be a therapist. And although I don't do that anymore, obviously I'm podcasting, I still have these like tendencies to ask questions all the time. Like, how do you feel? It drives my husband bat crazy. But I thought what we talked about was so, so good, even beyond the conversation of LinkedIn. Which, side note, if you just want to skip to this and hear about LinkedIn, go to the 20-minute mark. You can do that now. You can fast forward and just listen to LinkedIn. But I want to encourage you to check out our conversation before then, because we dig into how to transition from a more professional 9-to-5 job into doing your own thing and the internal battles that you face in doing that. And I want to say something about this because I feel like entrepreneurism, is that a word? Entrepreneurship is so glamorized, and doing your own thing is so glamorized. And in a way it should be, because it is cool. It is a really cool thing. But for those of us who have kind of taken the plunge and stepped away from our careers, the 9-to-5 thing, and started down our own path, it is very rewarding, but it's also super hard. Not only hard financially and figuring out how to generate income and scale that and all that, that's a whole other thing, but also internally dealing with family and friends' questions about why you're doing what you're doing and what exactly are you doing and all of that stuff. And I don't think we talk enough about that. You know, on Fidget Fridays, we talk a lot more about some of the tactical stuff, sometimes some of the internal things, but this is a topic we haven't talked about, which I dig into with Hayden today, is how do you deal with admitting to yourself, hey, I'm not satisfied in this job. I really want to go do my own thing. And then facing all of the questions and doubts around that. Hayden is super vulnerable in this interview and shares about his own experience from leaving the startup and corporate world into doing what he really wants to do. And then afterwards, like I said, around the 20-minute mark, we dig into how he's used LinkedIn to grow his tribe, and it's so good. All right, I'm done yabbing, people. I love you in your corner. If you have not joined our private Facebook group, we are having some really deep conversations over there. It's not just a bunch of strangers posting random crap. We're actually really getting to know each other, dig into each other's businesses and goals and dreams, help each other, brainstorm with one another. We would love to have you a part. All you have to do is head over to Facebook, put in Unconventional Leaders, and I'll be sure to add you guys. All right, let's get into this episode with Hayden Humphrey.
Yeah, so I live in Chicago. So I live in Uptown. I just moved into a one-bedroom place a little bit north of Wrigley. But I've been in Chicago for about 2 years, and had moved from San Francisco, where I'd lived for about a year and a half. And then I'm from Ohio originally, like right around the Columbus area.
Why all the moving around?
So I think it's a combination of a couple different things. I think first and foremost, I really love moving to new cities because I think that there's so much that it can do for you in terms of growing your perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the story that I like to tell people is when I had moved to California originally, because I didn't end up getting a job until about 2.5 months before I graduated from college. And I moved to California 3 weeks after I graduated, knowing nobody. And I, at the time, ignorantly thought it wasn't going to be that hard and wasn't going to be that bad. And I had people, you know, be like, aren't you worried about moving across the country and not knowing anybody? And I was like, no, it'll be totally fine. You know, it's not going to be that big of a deal. And then it was so hard. It was so hard because you go, you know, from this really tight-knit social circle into this place where I had to completely create all of these new routines and this new social circle. And I see it as this experience of moving from somewhere where you've built a social circle to affirm who you currently believe yourself to be. Mm. And when you move to a completely new place, you don't have any of that support. You don't have any of that affirmation, which can be really scary. But at the same time, it's such an incredible opportunity to reassess a lot of really basic assumptions that you have about yourself. And so that's sort of been my drive.
What was the basic assumption you had that you had to kind of unlearn?
Totally. I didn't need help. That was like my basic assumption that I had built up over years of living in my head and feeling as though it was too scary and too vulnerable to ask other people to help me, not only from a professional perspective, but also from a social perspective. And so, you know, over this, you know, the 6 to 8 years prior to me moving to California, I basically had this go it alone mentality. And when I moved there, I realized like, oh, wow, like I have to tell people how I'm feeling. I have to ask people for help. I have to let people in order to feel stable and supported and connected and not lose my mind. And so that was a really big learning for me in just learning to ask for help and starting to build more connected relationships with people in my life.
Yeah. I can kind of see, because you know, I know your story and we'll dive into it. I kind of see where what you're doing now kind of weaves into your past a little bit because, you know, you're in the startup space and you went to LinkedIn. So you're in this very professional type settings. And then what you're talking about is just like this self-awareness and becoming vulnerable and real and honest. And now that's what you help other people do. But in that space and that culture of professionalism, because like I said, you went from startup to LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. But is that stuff celebrated? Is it difficult? Like, what was it like kind of coming to terms with some of this stuff within that context?
Really good question. You know, I think the first company that I worked for, it wasn't necessarily a topic of discussion. And that might in and of itself be a reality of startup companies. There's so much going on that there's not necessarily the bit largest focused on employee engagement or, you know, who you are personally as an employee. I don't know. That's the only, you know, startup that I've worked for. So it definitely could be different. I do think that working at LinkedIn though, because it was a very different experience because LinkedIn does such a wonderful job of focusing on culture and focusing on the person and the employee as a whole and your experience in life in addition to your experience in the office. And so I did feel a lot more comfortable bringing these things to work and bringing these things to the people that I worked with and having a discussion about it and sharing what I was struggling with. But I definitely think that it depends on the employer. I think large scale, I think it needs to be more of a conversation. I think we need to be more aware of how someone's personal development is impacting their, you know, professional performance and experience in the office because they're one and the same. I think it's been really easy to look at them as two completely unrelated things, and they're not. Who you are in regards to work is probably who you are in regards to all other areas of your life. And that's what I really love about the work that I'm doing now is it's taking a holistic approach to looking at how are you showing up in all areas, and how do we ensure that who you're being and how you're showing up is a direct reflection of who you actually are. But I think it's a conversation professionally within companies that is just sort of taking off.
Yeah. So you went through the startup, you worked at LinkedIn. I mean, those are some really cool gigs, moving around, doing different stuff. But ultimately, it led you to this place of where you're like, hey, this is not my calling. This is not the thing that stirs my soul. There's something else pulling at me. Can you talk to us about what happened there?
Totally. So, well, I think first it's important to note that I had always wanted to work for myself. Like going into college, I knew that in the back of my mind, at some point it was going to be something that I did. I just didn't know when. And so in leaving to go work for these companies, first in San Francisco and then in California, this idea of being self-employed was always sort of in the back of my mind. It was, again, just a question of timeline. And so when I moved to Chicago, I joined LinkedIn as part of an outbound business development team. And I came in Q4 and I did relatively well. And I sort of set this expectation or this standard for myself. And going into Q1 of the next year, if you're familiar with sales quotas, basically we had monthly quotas and then we had quarterly quotas. And I did relatively well in January, but at the end of January, we all took off as a company to go to our annual sales conference. And I also took some time off to go on vacation with a couple of friends. And reason that's important is I came back in February and I basically realized that I had nothing in my pipeline and I had no meeting set up. I had no idea how I was going to hit, I think it was like 18 meetings that I needed to set up. And I had absolutely no idea how I was going to hit this number. And I had like 3.5 weeks to do it. And so I just turned into this super focused, incredibly stressed out, anxiety ridden person, coming in super early, leaving super late, like making, you know, 150, 160 like phone calls, twice as many as we're supposed to be making, trying to do everything in my power to hit this number. And it's not only affecting, you know, me in the office, but it's also affecting me outside of the office and how I was actually able to connect with people and listen to people and all that kind of stuff. So month goes along, I end up missing by two. My number by two, and I'm having a conversation with my manager around how to better plan and how to better manage stress. But the thing that was really important to me was, and that I couldn't get over, was like, why do I care about this number so much? Like, how is it that this number at work is causing me to literally change how I'm showing up in my life and the experience that I'm having? And what I realized was, for the longest period of time, I had derived my sense of self-worth as a person from my professional accomplishments and from the companies that I was working at, the internships that I had, basically how impressive I was to other people. And I didn't realize that at the time, but it was all driven by this underlying belief, this core belief that I have about myself, that I'm this unlikable person that's not worthy of other people's time and affection. And so I had pretty much made it in my mind unconsciously that if I went out and achieved a lot of things, that would mean that people would like me. And so when I came to this realization, it was like, okay, this is not the experience that I want to be having. this is not the person that I want to be. And so it then became a question of what's next. And so I looked at a couple different smaller, like B corporations, nonprofits, but again, had always had this concept of wanting to go out and work for myself, and intuitively was feeling this tug on my heartstrings and my gut to go out and do that. So ended up setting some money aside, and then basically jumped into the unknown at the end of June last year.
Wow. So that's a very heavy realization, and one that I think a lot of us can identify with, and I can definitely identify with that sense of achievement and worth and value. Cause I think we all say like, yeah, I think I have a little bit of that, but knowing where that comes from and the root of it, what do you think for you personally was the root of that? Where did that stem from?
That's a great question. So, you know, I don't think I had not that anybody has an easy childhood, but I don't think I had the easiest childhood. I was very introverted, and I was a very openly affectionate, kind, nice, positive kid. And I think that at times that was taken advantage of. And so my response to that was, well, then I'm just not going to let anybody in. And I'm just going to build my walls really, really high. And it's only going to be me in here. And I'm going to live in my head. And therefore, nobody else will be able to, you know, hurt me or what have you. And so, you know, I think that's where it started. And I've been doing a lot of work to try and understand you know, from an actual experience or event perspective, like what were the events that caused it? But, you know, I think the interesting thing and the thing that I've come to realize with this coaching work in particular is it almost doesn't matter where it came from. Mm. What matters is who you're going to choose to be moving forward and how you're going to practice being the person that you want to be moving forward. And so that's really been a big part of it, is distinguishing, like, where do these things show up in my life? How are they getting in my way or getting in the way of me actually getting what I want? And how can I more proactively and intentionally choose outside of it so that it no longer becomes the norm?
Yeah.
And so that's been my work this year, especially, has been getting really clear on, like, who have I been being up until now and who do I want to be moving forward?
That's really good. You know, as someone who's out on their own doing their own thing, because like I said, I struggle too with what you said about attaching worth with achievement. And when you're own your own business and you're doing your own thing, it really is all up to you to make it successful or not. And so there's no external things that you can blame except for yourself. And that's just a fact. So understanding that and still trying to balance a healthy self-esteem and work ethic and stuff, where you're not just overloading yourself and beating yourself up and trying to achieve to prove yourself through your business. It's really, really hard balancing those two things. So how have you seen that come up with you this past year, and how have you dealt with it?
Yeah, so it's always a work in progress. It's always a journey. And I think that overall, I have been able to separate my sense of self-worth from the output or the, you know, quote unquote financial success of my business up until now. There are definitely times that I still fall into it. Like over the past, you know, 2.5 weeks, one of the things that I've been dealing with is this core belief that I have around not enough. Like the things that I'm doing aren't enough. I'm not reaching out to enough people. I'm not trying to be on enough podcasts. I'm not doing enough workshops. I'm not, you know, doing what have you. But I think the thing that the work that I've done has given me is the ability to look at that and say, that's a belief. Like that is a we call them context in coaching, but that's a core belief that is actually getting in the way of me having the experience that I want, where work isn't hard, it's joyful, and I also get to balance that with self-care. So that's been something over the past couple of weeks that I've been like really focused on trying to shift. I think over everything, my key to success in this area has been working with a coach of my own, because it's super easy when you're in a silo to feel like everything that you're doing is wrong. Like you get caught in this cyclone or this downward spiral of like, everything's going terribly, I'm not doing the right thing, I'm not doing what have you. And it becomes really hard to climb out of. And so in working with my coach, we've set a lot more of the foundation around who am I actually? Where do I derive my sense of self-worth, which is transcendent of, you know, my current, how my current business is doing, who I know in my network, how much money I'm making or what have you. But then also, how do I bring that into who I want to be in regards to building my business? Because I think up until recently, my main method of motivation was kicking the crap out of myself. And like, nothing's ever good enough. I need to be doing more and more and more and more and more and more, more, which works in some senses. But at the same time, I actually miss out on a lot of the joy, and I miss out on a lot of the peace and a lot of the, you know, more relaxation oriented pieces of this lifestyle that I'm trying to create for myself. So still struggling with it. But getting much better at separating the two and working with my coach has been incredibly helpful for that.
Yeah. One other question before we kind of transition into, because I know originally I want to talk about LinkedIn, but this is such a, I think everybody can relate to what you're saying, especially, you know, leaders, entrepreneurs. It's something I think we all face to some degree. A question that's coming up for me right now, and one that I've personally dealt with, and I wonder if you've dealt with it too, is coming from a professional background and making the transition, admitting that you want to do your own thing and start your own business and go into coaching and enter the personal development space. For me, I mean, I went to school for 7 years and got a master's degree, and it's sitting in that closet and I'm not doing anything with it. And I, you know, went on several jobs, got job offers, turned them down. And it honestly embarrassed. I felt so embarrassed, like just admitting like, hey, I want to do the outside the box thing. I know it sounds exciting, but honestly, there was a lot of internal struggle because I felt, I felt immature. I felt irresponsible. I felt stupid sometimes admitting it and thinking, am I an idiot? Am I wasting my life? Are people making fun of me? Am I going to look back at 40 and think, oh my God, what did I do? Am I going to be broke? Yeah. I mean, like so many fears and crazy stuff by going the unconventional path. And I don't know if you faced that in saying no to LinkedIn and these startups and starting your own thing, but I don't know. Was that your experience? I may just be
guessing. I'm laughing and I'm nodding because that is word for word the exact experience that I had. And I just, I love talking to other people about this, especially people who have pushed through that and are on the other side, because you realize like, what was I thinking? And you understand how you get to that place. It's actually really funny because I just made a video last week around this whole concept of premature optimization, which is basically this idea that before you understand all of the options or paths available to you, you pick one early on and then you optimize your entire life around it. But you do it too early, you do it prematurely. Ooh. And I think that college has a lot to do with this, where you get in at 18, you're asked to pick a major or a field of study that you're going to do for 4 years and then presumably get a job in afterwards. And when you're 18, you don't have really any life experience. You've probably lived at home your entire life up until you actually go to college. So the idea that you could pick something and build the rest of your 60 plus year life around that thing that you picked at 18 is ridiculous. It's just, it's so absurd. But like, that's how it tends to go. And then you get to the end of college, and if you don't get a job in that field, you almost feel like you did it wrong. Like somehow your experience is less valid, or you did it incorrectly because you're looking at something else other than what you actually studied. And I think that as time goes on, something that is has always been really big for me is continuing to connect myself to the future vision of what it is I'm actually looking to create. Like, what's the end goal here? What do I actually want my life to look like? And that makes it a lot easier when I get into these situations where I have this option to say, do I want to stay this more traditional route? Do I want to stay in this corporate technology company? Or do I want to take a step that's a little bit outside of the box and go do something else? It makes it much easier to take that risk and do something that's a little bit sort of like off the beaten path, because I understand long term, not only am I capable of creating the life that I want, but this is a stepping stone to actually getting me there. And the last piece that I want to put in here is like this whole idea of normal and what's normal for you. And I had a mentor that I've worked with for the past 2 years, and I remember telling him that I was leaving to go do my own thing, and he was talking about this idea of redefining normal. Because now I'm in this place where I've built this community of people who are all entrepreneurs, they're all freelancers, they're all in the, they're all coaches, personal development people, you know, what have you. And this is now my new normal. Working for myself, doing my own thing, going out and getting clients, doing podcasts like this, connecting with folks like you. This is now normal. But if you went to school for business or communications and you're now working in a corporate company, that's normal for you. And everybody you know and how you know how to succeed and all your measurements of success and what your parents are expecting you to do and all your relationships, all of those things are based around this concept of normal. And so it does feel very weird, does feel very abnormal to take a step outside of that. But I think the more that you can talk with people who are in the space that you want to be in and connect yourself to the future vision of what you're looking to create, the easier that it's going to be to actually work through that discomfort.
Yeah, I love that. I think that community piece is huge. It's the difference between, you know, if you're sharing your vision and your dream with someone and they go, oh, versus if you share your vision and dream with someone and they're like, yes, do it, go for it. Always hang out with the people who say yes and amen to your dream and your vision.
Totally. Well, and you have to realize too, like real quick, like I remember distinctly telling like the reactions many of the people had when I told them that I was leaving LinkedIn to go do this thing that was so, you know, unstructured and I had no idea what it was going to look like. And a lot of people were like, what are you doing? Like, why would you do that? But so much of it stems from this the fact that their reaction has more to do with them and their experiences and their fears than it does with the validity of what you are trying to do.
Come on. That's so good. You know, Hayden, I apologize. We were going to talk all about LinkedIn today, and it's already 30 minutes and we haven't talked about it at all. But I do want to just touch on it just a little bit. You know, you're talking about the unbeaten path and doing things a little bit differently. And what I love about what you've done is you've taken your experience and your knowledge working with LinkedIn, and now you're using it to grow your coaching business, which I'll give you an opportunity to share about what you're doing now in a minute.
Awesome.
But you're going kind of an unconventional path on LinkedIn. You've grown a thriving network there. You're doing a lot of cool stuff. You've challenged me personally, made me do stuff out of my own comfort zone on LinkedIn. Just give us a brief overview, what you're doing on LinkedIn right now, why you think it's so important for young people, entrepreneurs to get involved in.
Totally. So I think in terms of the social networks and the platforms that you could build a following on, LinkedIn for me is the most special and the most attractive for a couple different reasons. One, because it's a place where I already had a network. Two, because the mission and underlying agreement that people have when they sign up for the platform is different than with Facebook or Instagram, which are largely personal. And you can do business stuff on Facebook or Instagram, but LinkedIn has a largely professional focus and a large business orientation, sort of built into the platform. And so the folks that I'm looking to work with, the work that I'm looking to do, just aligns better with those folks on the platform. And third, I think because it's still relatively new in terms of publishers, in terms of influencers, in terms of what the platform could be, it's not that saturated. And so there's still a ton of opportunity to go out and make a name for yourself versus starting on Instagram and like trying to build a following there. It's a lot harder. It can be done, but it's a lot more difficult. And so I think for those reasons, that's why I really like the platform. In terms of like who I'm trying to be there and the impact that I'm trying to have, I see authenticity in social media as an incredibly important concept, as an incredibly important area of focus for me and hopefully for others as well. Because I think that so much of our lives we spend in hiding, and we spend not talking about the things that are actually going on for us, the fears that we have, the failures that we've had. And so I think that a big draw for me is being able to lead the way in terms of genuine content, vulnerable content, authentic content, showing people that I'm going through the exact same things that everybody else is going through, and hopefully inspiring other people to move past where they are now, if that's getting in their way, and ultimately start to share in the exact same way. So that's a big reason that I have this hashtag, and the handle that I use on most social media platforms is Hayden as himself. Because I feel like for a really long time, I wasn't myself. I was playing somebody else's role. I was playing somebody else's life. And I'm now in this space where I'm realigning myself and becoming more and more of me. And that's the kind of impact that I want to have, is setting an example for what does it look like to be authentic and vulnerable on social media, and especially somewhere like LinkedIn, where almost seems really counterintuitive and like a little bit scary. But again, going back to what we talked about earlier, like who you are at work, who you are professionally, is exactly who you are personally. It's one and the same. And when you realize that they're so closely linked and integrated, that's when you can actually show up, and that's where the magic happens, I think.
How do you show up authentically on LinkedIn? What are some of the methods you use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think a big part of it is talking about fear and failure, talking about the things that aren't going well for me, talking about the things that might be a little bit more intimate or close to the chest. And it's definitely something that is, like everything else, it's a process. I found myself over the past couple of weeks posting a lot of content that was very, the clinical is not the right word, but it was very like neat and like, oh, here's this very nice concept and I'm going to, put it out there. It almost felt like this conversation between head and heart. Mm-hmm. And I was coming a lot from my head and a lot of sort of like logic, like listen to all my logic about all of these things versus coming from heart, which is where the vulnerability comes from, mm-hmm. which is where the connection comes from. And so I think part of it is implementing structures outside of LinkedIn, like reminders that I set for myself on my calendar, or you know, commitments that I make to the groups that I'm in, like a mastermind group that I'm in, to post content more from the heart and more from a vulnerable place. Mm-hmm. And there's no formula for it, but I know when I'm writing something, does this feel like something that's like a little bit scary to post? And if so, that's probably the right thing to actually post. But it's coming from this more heart oriented place versus head oriented place.
And it goes back to the community piece too, because I know that, you know, that's kind of like a celebrated thing in entrepreneurial mm-hmm. do your own thing spaces, that's vulnerability piece and all of that. Do you mm-hmm. think that's celebrated just as much in professionalism? Like, do you get the same response from all groups of people or just certain types?
That's a great question. Well, I'd say that the things that I'm talking about are pretty typical of the human experience. Mm-hmm. So I think it resonates with most people, regardless of where you're coming from or regardless of the type of work that you're involved in. I think that entrepreneurs, freelancers are usually more open to sharing themselves online because it's their company and it's their brand, it's their personal brand, and they don't feel like, I think more frequently they feel like they don't need to fit into any sort of container or be worried about what their boss or their boss's boss is going to think. So I think people who are parts of large organizations tend to share less of themselves online. But that's not to say that the message doesn't still resonate with them and that they don't feel the same way. I find in the folks that reach out to me and the feedback that I get, it's pretty diverse across the board in terms of the work that they're doing and the backgrounds that they have.
That's awesome. Hayden, I just, first of all, want to acknowledge you for being so real and vulnerable and doing the brave thing and being willing to share that with the world. I know that's not easy. I've walked through it and lived through it myself, and it sounds glamorous and exciting, but it's the most gut-wrenching, raw, mm-hmm. I mean, it's so difficult. It's difficult, but you've just approached mm-hmm. it with such grace and bravery, and mm-hmm. I just admire mm-hmm. you so much. I have one question left for you, which I ask all the guests, but before then, amazing. Tell us a little bit about the coaching that you provide and where people can connect with you.
So I work as a success coach, speaker, workshop facilitator. I mainly work one-on-one with individuals who feel stuck or unfulfilled in their lives and their careers to help them get really clear on the type of experience that they want to create for themselves, and then removing the obstacles on their way to actually creating that, whether it's with work, whether it's relationships, whether it's with money. The folks that I work with tend to be stuck in a professional sense and in a career sense. But again, going to what we talked about earlier, it's a holistic approach. So we'll talk about what do you want your life to look like from all areas, and how can we put support systems into actually helping you create that. And then from a speaking and workshop piece, those are relatively newer for me, but I'm really looking to connect with and work with organizations to help them reimagine what's possible for themselves, for their teams, who they are as a team, discovering who they are as a team, and bringing a lot more joy and play into work and into the professional space. I've recently started to put together some improv workshops actually to take out to companies, which I'm super duper excited about. And I think that'll be really fun. But yeah, overall it's redefining success, whether you're an individual or a corporation, and getting really clear on where you want to be and then working to get there.
So you do improv too, right? I do remember reading
that. Oh yes. Yes. Yeah. It's my favorite thing.
Have you ever thought about going into entertainment? Because you definitely have that energy.
It's actually really interesting that you asked me that, because it's been something that I've been thinking about over the past week. It's part of why I really like doing video, because I feel like my personality comes across on video. And it wasn't until I started doing improv that I also started understanding how much I enjoy performing and making mm-hmm. people laugh. So potentially in some way, shape or form, it'll be interesting to see sort of like how that shapes up down the line though.
I love that. Okay, our very last question. Yes. This show is for unconventional leaders, those who have come from unconventional places and lead in unconventional ways. We really want to celebrate what makes people different, and them going those unbeaten paths when the rest of the world may be saying, who are you? What the hell are you doing? So with that in mind, we have a whole bunch of unconventional leaders listening. And like we talked about earlier, there is a lot of self-doubt and self-worth wrapped in this whole topic of doing your own thing. Yes. What advice would you have for unconventional leaders right now who are going that unbeaten path?
One, the first and foremost, I think the most important thing that you can develop in any area of business or just to be successful in life, however you define that, is developing self-awareness. I think that is the most important and critical component, because if you don't know who you are, there's no way to get to who you actually want to be. There's no way to measure that. There's no way to measure progress. And there's no way to tell how the beliefs that you have now or the stories that you're living in now, how they're either negatively or positively impacting you. So self-awareness is, I think, the key to pretty much success in every single area. I think second, it's getting the support that you need. And so I am now in a place where I don't ever see myself not working with a coach, because the amount of transformation and the amount of growth that I've experienced over the past year of working with a coach, I've literally undone decades of damage isn't the right word, but layers of conditioning. I've literally undone decades of me trying to be somebody else in the past year, and it's been incredible. And I think it's going to pay so many dividends, exponential dividends, down the road as I start to build these businesses and create this life experience that I'm looking to create. And then I think third is just staying attached to the future vision. It's like, why do this? Why do anything? Like, what's the what for in making any of these decisions? And I think that the more connected you are to that, and the more time and thought and energy that you put into that, the easier that it's going to be to actually go out and do the hard things and get yourself into those uncomfortable situations, because you understand what's to be gained on the other side. Otherwise, it's really easy to sit back and just continue to do what you're doing.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in unconventional leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.